Yeah, then he, contrary to every manual he's ever read, you know, he's done all the checks he can, but then he hears this, and he realizes he doesn't have time, so...
Punch it.
He just turns to the others and say, hold on tight, this is gonna get bumpy, and he just...
Yeah, Daniel jumps into his chair, because he was, like, still getting in and shutting the door, so...
And he just, yeah, he just, I mean, he just hits it, and he's, like, he is praying to whatever god he may believe in that this works, because... they're out of time.
And then poor Hannah's going to get, like, a concussion in the vents.
You see her banging in the ventilation area?
You see her mangled body fall out of the vent. Oh, that's good. It's on the vents. Shoot it.
What is that? Kill it.
So, Wesley, go ahead and roll me one of them good old conflict rolls, please. You have 8 die.
Oh.
And if at any point any of you want to do something, you just shout it and you'll get a chance to. And I get a single D6 this time as well. I probably won't get anything. Oh, we got a 6.
Oh, no. I probably won't get anything.
So if we tie, I win. But if you get more 6s than me, you win.
Nope.
Oh.
So we tie. So then, Wesley...
And we lose a die because there's a 1 as well.
And you lose a die, yeah. So what you can do, Wesley, you can burn one of your traits to re-roll that single 1. It's probably not worth it, it's up to you.
At this time, I will not. I will keep it.
All right. So you technically succeed, so you still get to continue, but I'll go ahead and narrate what happens. So you just slam the ignition. The entire room explodes with light as this engine goes off. And you can swear in your heads you hear something scream in pain as it's just blindsided. Wow, okay. Light-sided, whatever. With this rocket ignition. And you begin to ascend. And you all jostle a little bit to the side as you feel something slam into the side of your spaceship. Your ship is able to break free and shoot into space, but you hear something. There, every couple of seconds, you hear boom, boom, boom. And each time it gets a little bit closer to the cockpit. And now you guys get narrative control again. Yay.
Oh, boy. Is that something on the ship?
You do start to hear a frantic pounding coming from inside of the ventilation shaft.
It's in the vents. Shoot it.
Oh, man. He can't. Yeah, he can't deal with that because he has to steer the thing. So
I think Rhodey is going to take off his seatbelt and yell, roll it.
Ooh.
I think just out of the whole deal in response, as much as this is an odd situation, he is in charge, and this guy isn't. So he just turns to him very sharply and goes, don't you tell me what to do! And then he still rolls.
So then
Rhodey is, like, hanging onto his seatbelt right now, but he wanted to be, like, free for his next actions.
Okay. Rhodey, why don't we have you roll this one since you initiated this action?
Okay, sure.
So you will have 7 die. Yeah. Good luck.
Oh,
I got 1 6.
Not a single one. Nice.
And we don't lose any.
That's the first one of those.
What about you, Jenna?
Good job. Oh, yeah, I forgot I rolled. Thanks.
Do you always roll or just certain ones?
It's because we lost a candle.
Oh, that's right, because he is the dice.
I only get 1 die per candle, so even if you guys lose a bunch, I still only get 1 right now.
Gotcha.
So you win, Susanna. Go ahead and tell us what happens.
Yeah, I think he yells for you to roll it, and you do, and he kind of holds on to his seatbelt. And I think there's like a jump as as whatever's on the outside of the ship kind of lets go, and the ship kind of rights itself, and Rhodey like lets go of his seatbelt and walks over to the vents.
All right, Hannah, you see this large buff figure head over towards the vents.
Yeah, well, I think what happened is all of this rolling and a lot more movement than she was expecting, because I think maybe she was actually like born on the moon colony. Like, I don't think she's ever been to Earth.
Well, that's cool.
So she's never been, like, in a spaceship before. So she's didn't know what to expect.
I think she's
been tossed
really
into
quick?
A different part of the vents and is, like, stuck there now. And that's why she's bang, 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 bang.
Oh, you're, like, freaking out. Like, oh, get me out of here.
Yeah.
And what were you saying, Andrew?
I just need to retcon something about my character's backstory based on what Hannah just said. So she was born here and it's been here for 16 years or more.
I think that the ship being built is a relatively new thing. So, like, my character didn't, like, come up to establish the colony and is waiting for his family to join him. He is, like, he came up here for the job to build the ship, and his family is still coming to join them, but it's not like he established the colony first or anything.
Oh,
that's what
sorry.
I initially...
Okay, that makes sense.
No, 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 you're fine. It's not an important detail. I just needed to retcon it because I said something contrary to it earlier, so...
Okay, so then all of you guys hear this bang, 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 bang in the ventilation. And Rhodey, I guess you're closest to the vent. What would you like to do?
I think he kind of squats down by where the vent, where the banging is coming from. And he kind of grins and he says, "Hey, is that you, kid?"
Maybe.
And he gives another kind of smile, and he turns around and says, "Anyone got a screwdriver?"
And I think he kind of turns, Dalton turns around, and I established we were low on power, so I don't think we would have enough fuel to be, like, autopiloting, right? So I can't get up and do anything.
Oh, that's up to you.
Well, I would say that, like, as far as, like, the fuel and or power situation is concerned, you probably could. Like, it would honestly be more efficient. Because it'd be a more direct path than
Makes
any
sense.
Mistakes you could make, so.
Okay, and then, yeah, because he's heard this banging, and he thought, I think when he first heard the banging, he was assuming it was part of the creature, and then he hears this again, and he immediately turns. He's like, "What was that?" And he stands, and he's walking over to the vent, and he kind of crouches, looks inside, sees this figure who he caught glimpses of in the whole connector back on the station, and he just goes, "What are you doing in there?"
Wait, he can see me?
Well, yeah, he's
I think
he
fell further back into the vents.
Yeah, I don't think I'm visible right now. I'm like in the vents.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Maybe you're a teenage.
Okay, yeah, so he's sorry. But he hears Rhodey say, "Is that you, kid?" And then I turn him like, "What?" And he's looking in. He doesn't see anything. He's like, "There's nothing there."
And Rhodey says, "It's that kid from before. I think she snuck on when the lights went out."
"A stowaway on my ship?" And he...
I think Rhodey is looking around for a screwdriver.
Wow, and you are really being really heartless in this situation. Like, because she didn't come on with you, she's a stowaway now?
He starts unscrewing this vent panel.
I think if he finds one, if there's a panel that he's unscrewing, I think that my character Dalton he just rolls his eyes, kind of shoulders Rhodey out of the way, grips the vent in both hands, and just rips it out.
Can you shoulder Rhodey out?
Rhodey,
of the
are
way?
You gonna take that?
Absolutely not. shoulder him, and he just kind of shoves you back, like with a giant meaty hand.
All right, conflict, excellent.
Oh boy. and I think he did it just because he's thinking, "You're taking too long with this stupid screwdriver. I can get it open faster than you." And so
Did you say anything?
Yeah, he's just been pushed, and he bounces back really fast, and he hasn't pulled his gun, but I think what he does is he pulls like a K-bar, like a combat knife out, and he says, "Hey, keep hands off."
You shoved him.
Didn't you shove him in the first place?
What are you going to do about it? And he like unscrews the last screw and pulls down and looks inside. Hey.
At the very bottom, you see a teenage girl stuck down there.
You see a very,
very
distressed looking girl.
Yeah. A little bit of minor head trauma.
Can I reach her?
What do you think, Hannah?
I think probably, yeah.
Okay.
He's gonna like put half of his body in and like reach down, say, "Come on, grab my hand."
She does. She trusts him now. You know, the card said that she needed to take her time, and this has given her plenty of time to think, and so now
That's
she
fair.
Trusts him.
And he's gonna pull her out. And then he's gonna start putting the screwdriver, he's gonna start screwing the panel back in place.
Cool. Okay.
Meanwhile, Daniels has been sitting buckled into his chair the entire time while these guys are all doing this. And like, I imagine he can, it's a small escape pod, I would think. So he, it sounds like it's a maneuverable, it's more of a small ship. But anyways, he like I'm sure he can hear them. It's not that big of a ship. But he's just like,
oh yeah, you can definitely hear them.
I figure we're all in the same. Like,
he just buckled in, and he's just like, yeah, well, it's good to know that it's not whatever those things are.
Yeah. So Dalton maybe at about this. Go ahead.
He's just watching Rhodey very, very carefully, because from this he's getting a very like, oh no, you are like, in his brain it's computing as you are trying to be top dog around here. That's not you, that's me. And
now you did shove him first, let the record show.
I did.
Yeah, that is true.
But it was only because I thought he was taking too long. But he's not, he doesn't strike me as a person who would say, excuse me, you're taking too long, could you please move, or anything like that.
No.
So we'll go ahead and go ahead.
No, it's fine, go ahead.
Okay, I was gonna say at this point maybe your ship dings, makes some sort of notification sound, and you see that you're approaching the shipyard. It's just in the atmosphere around the moon, so it is not that long of a travel for you to get there. It's just a matter of minutes. And as you approach the shipyard, if one of you guys want to roll me a conflict roll, you guys can describe what it looks like and where you're trying to go. Everyone wants to roll the bones.
Someone else wants to.
I think actually Daniel would say something. I think as we're approaching, he just says, I was saying earlier that I work here. I think I know where some of the extra fuel canisters are stowed. I could lead us there.
And he looks at Dalton, looks at you, and I'm guessing you're still wearing whatever outfit an engineer would wear.
I mean, it's just regular clothes. I mean, like I was like overseeing like a specific system being built on the ship or something, you know. So like, I just wear day clothes. I don't have like a uniform or anything.
Okay. Well, he just nods to you curtly, says, get in and get out, then get off here.
Lead the way,
you're
pretty boy.
You're pretty bossy.
Yeah, I don't want to go alone, for sure.
All right. Well, then let's go ahead and have you, Daniel, give us a conflict roll.
All right.
Reminder
so I get
that
to
you
roll
have seven die.
Yeah. It's better than last time.
It is. Susanna did really good last time. No losses.
I got three sixes, so good luck trying to beat me.
I mathematically can't.
Well, I still want to see you roll.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm being mean.
You're fine. Fine. Woo. Okay. Yeah. Tell us what happens, Daniel.
I'm just kidding.
Hey.
So what happens?
Yeah.
Okay. Daniel is leading the group down this kind of... I like to imagine that there's like a little kind of like offshoot coming from the shipyard that's like, you know, around the ship being built. Because we're building it in space, I think the workers, you know, until the bigger pieces of structure get in place, have to like work in spacesuits. But there's kind of like got gravity on it, you know? It's got gravity, got atmosphere, but it's like a small little like...
Got milk.
Hub, you know, it's like they've got offices, they've got workhouses, storerooms, you know, that kind of thing. They have all the tools they need in like a habitable space, and they get in their spacesuits and go out and work on the ship, at least the
so
parts that they can.
Dead space.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
so.
Cool.
But there's this like long causeway that we're going down that has a big kind of like glass. I don't think it's glass, obviously, but like a glass kind of like arched walkway that we're walking down towards the actual hub. And Daniel,
oh, so you guys docked the ship, and now you're inside.
We docked the ship in like a little docking hub, and now we're going down a somewhat long causeway towards the actual hub of the shipyard.
That's cool.
And
that's
as we're walking, like Daniel's kind of walking, he's like looking up towards Earth, and it's just a big black hole, basically. And as we're walking, he's just like, do we even know what's happening? Do we know what's going on? Has anybody seen anything?
Is there anyone here?
That's a good question. Why don't we do that? Let's do a conflict roll for Rhodey then, because we got to start burning some candles.
Let's see if I keep rolling well.
Roll the bones.
We still have seven, though.
Yeah, still seven.
Nope. I got nothing, and I got a one.
Do you want to re-roll the one?
No, I want things to go to crap.
I didn't get it either. So we're just going to end the scene right there, and we have 8 candles left. And now we can go ahead and establish our truths and... Whoever wants to start can just say these things are true, the world is dark. Who did we end on? Hannah? So Hannah, get your most gravelly voice, whatever, like, these things are true. Sort of like, you know, the Walking Dead Telltale game? Previously on the Walking Dead.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I like it.
These things are true, the world is dark.
You find someone in this station. That's it for me.
They are hung from the raptors. Aww. They are hung from the rafters.
Just killed
but
my NPC.
Still alive.
Oh.
Ooh.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
Wesley.
Bruh.
We find the final report of the shipyard overseer.
Ooh, okay.
As the commander finds the report, the body, or the person hanging from the rafters, cuts himself free but falls to the ground and breaks their leg.
Ooh. All right, Hannah?
Norma pulls a card from her tarot deck and advises the group that the moon advises you to look for the answers to your questions in dark and unexplored places.
Whoa.
The results will be brilliant, but they may take some time to find.
Oh my god.
Oh man.
And as you do that, the power to the station fails.
Oh.
All right. Go ahead, Susanna.
We hear the creature screaming begin in our heads.
And we are alive.
Ooh. Okay. So you guys find yourselves in the middle of this shipyard on the interior. You found this man, Hank. Was it a man or was it a woman, did we say?
We didn't specify. We just said somebody.
You said there was someone.
You see a person of indeterminate gender. They have just fallen from the rafters, and you hear this sharp crunch as their legs break. Now, what you guys thinking? Do the bones poke through, or do we not see the bones?
Bones break. I think we just heard the crunch.
Yeah, the lights went out, so we can't see it anyways. So.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool, okay. So you hear this crunch, you hear them scream in pain, and then Hannah draws this card. It's like, wow, darkness. I sure hope that... the lights go out.
Oh, one quick thing, just to establish this, I think just to make sure we're all in the same headspace, did we, like, just make it to the other side of this walkway I was talking about?
If yeah,
was,
I
like,
think
hanging
that's
from the rafters, I think so.
Yeah, yeah and you're, like, close to the fuel now.
We make it to, like, the central room where the supplies are kept, and there's this person. I said I saw the report, but then the lights go out, so... Hmm.
Well, it's the future, so it's probably on a data pad.
Yes, I'm gonna say, like, there's a pad on the table, and, like, the power is out, but then, like, the only light source in this is, like, green type on a screen that is a report.
Oh, very creepy.
At the same time that we have to remember we have the creature screaming in our heads.
Yes.
Yes.
Rhodey is going to run immediately towards that guy that fell on the ground.
Okay. What are you trying to do?
Do I get there?
Oh, yeah, you get there.
Okay. He is going to say very, very quietly under his breath, leave us be, and then snap the guy's neck.
Holy cow.
So you hear the guy say, like, what? What?
Whoa.
Okay. Wow, that's hardcore.
Whoa.
And no one else can see this, I assume. You just hear this.
The hope.
Yeah.
Leave us be?
Yeah.
None of us hear it. None of us see it.
Nope. I mean, I assume I have to roll for this.
Yeah, because we just heard, like, the crunch. Yes. Yeah, we don't know. Yeah.
Okay. I have 8 candles now?
Yes, 8.
And you have 2.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Hey. I mean, statistically, you're going to win.
Well, that's
23.
That is...
That's not it.
No?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, you win.
Okay. I win. Oh,
I
good.
Like how that was a D26.
23, I win.
Yeah. I was like, how
candles.
Did you get that on 2D6? And then I realized I was reading it wrong.
Yeah. I cheated. Okay, yeah. So no one hears a thing, except I assume they hear the snap, but they don't really know it was either.
Yeah, we don't know what's going on yet. Yeah.
I imagine right at this point is when the creature started screaming your guys' heads, so you were a little preoccupied at the moment.
Yeah.
And so I get the narrative control?
Yeah.
Yes.
As soon as the neck breaks, I think the lights start coming back on.
Hoo-hoo. Okay, so then when the lights come back on, what does everyone see, Susanna?
They can see him kind of like leaning over this guy, like shaking him, like pretending to see if he's awake.
Ooh. Okay.
And he kind of looks back over at them and says, he's gone.
What's... everyone also the creature, right? I mean, where is it? What's it doing? I don't see anything.
Can't tell. It was,
I don't know, they're messing with us.
He turns and sees the guy there, and he kind of approaches holding the data pad. And he looks down at this guy, and he says, his neck is broken. And I think he turns, and he just, like, he's seen enough to know that this he saw this guy before he fell, right? This guy was alive and
he
had
could
fallen.
Have broken his neck when he hit the ground, Wesley. You can't tell just by looking at him how he broke his neck.
I you guys heard a snap when he hit the ground, and Merced his leg wasn't out, so.
Yes.
Right, I'd rule in Susanna's favor since she won narration for this one.
Okay, fine.
You can accuse me of something. I'd be perfectly happy for that.
No, because if he has
I bet
no,
he would.
If he has no basis, he's not going to. But
you
I think
could be suspicious.
He's suspicious, all right. He's like don't he's giving suspicious. You the eye. He's giving you the eye, and like he's got he knows where his knives are and his gun, but he's looking at this data pad that's got the last report from the overseer of the shipyard. And Jonathan, do you want me to say what it says, or you want to say what it says?
Give me a conflict roll. Like I said, we got to start burning through these candles.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, okay. All right, here we go.
Susanna, once again, did not roll any ones, so you've got 8.
Susanna rolling well is not a surprise.
Yeah, she seems to do pretty well, doesn't she?
Yeah, sometimes.
The dice favor who they favor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I do have some sway with the dice gods. I really, really wanted that one.
That was a good one. I know. I'm just going to go ahead and put a prediction out. Maybe at the very end, it'll be with your two characters like guns at each other as the monsters come around. That would be...
Who knows? Ooh, man. That is simultaneously a very good roll and not a great roll.
That's not great, actually.
He rolled 3 sixes and 2 ones. So Jonathan can't beat it, but also we lose 2 dice.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So you get narration rights here for the data pad. And yeah, you can burn one of your virtues or vices if you would like, but you can also save them.
Well, can I say something before he narrates? This is like a meta thing for the group. We are none of us are worried about Susanna not telling the rest of the group about what we're fighting, right? Like, she's the one who knows what these things are. The rest of our characters,
she doesn't necessarily know.
Who can say?
She
said,
how do you know?
She says, you wrote the thing. I thought that the kind of the narrative thing was like your character may have seen something on the way here and kind of knows a small detail.
I don't necessarily know everything about them.
Yeah, no, you don't know everything.
All
I'm
I can say
like,
is we swapped notes. That's all.
That's all we did. That's all.
Yeah, but we haven't really interacted with they that much at all yet, and that's making me very concerned.
Oh, my voice recorder.
Sorry, I just wanted to say that, but...
Oh, no, that's cool. Totally fine. Okay, so data pad, Wesley.
Yes, he's reading from the... he's reading silently from the data pad, and it says, from Shipyard Overseer Jefferson, and it's a...
Jefferson Starship.
Oh man, you know what would make it even better is if like this ship is being named after like an ancestor of this guy or something. So it's gonna be called like it's gonna be the
Grandpappy
Jefferson Starship.
You'd be so proud.
It would have been the Jefferson Starship because it'll
sorry
be
Wesley
completed.
It's he's reading it and he's reading it says, they came upon us without warning. These creatures, I do not know what they are. I only caught the sight of red eyes in the shadow, and the lights were acting up. Get out while you can. And it's one of those moments where, you know how sometimes where they hit in the action movie or whatever, they hit a single key on the computer and it's like a slash mark or something and it just goes on and on and on and on.
Like in Lord of the Rings where they find the journal in...
Yep.
They are coming.
So our nouns and verbiage for these things so far are claws, spider-like, and red eyes.
Mm.
Ooh.
And maybe one or two secret descriptors that we'll learn about later.
Oh.
That's a hidden tool for later.
Somebody won't share with the
That's
party.
A surprise tool we'll use for later.
Yeah.
That was a really good impression.
That was good.
I'm glad to know there's two of us in this group that can do a really good Mickey impression. We need to have a
Are
Mickey
Are you a fellow mouser? All right, I'm sorry, Wesley. We keep interrupting you with quips.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Although you're kind of breaking the mood, but it's your game.
You
can
keep
do it
on quipping to stay sane, you know?
Yeah.
It's okay. I'll probably cut out some extra stuff, too. So
put it in the bloopers.
He tosses the pad to the floor and says, only reaffirms what I knew. Get the fuel up, and get off this rock.
Hmm.
Yeah, one of the storerooms should be right over here, one of the closest ones to the ships.
And Daniel starts like walking over to kind of a room off of this central hub right on the other side of the walkway.
Brody follows.
Okay. Sweet. So Daniel, you make it over to the room. Perhaps there's a key card or a code you got to use, but you've worked here, so you can very easily access it. This is your kind of home base. You belong here.
Yeah.
And the door slides open with this slight, I don't know, like smoothly, I guess, whatever the future sound is for love. Whoosh. And go ahead and give me a conflict roll as we'll figure out what's behind this door.
Yeah.
And you've got 6 die. I feel like Andrew keeps getting the bad rolls.
Well, I've had 5, I've had 7, now I have 6. You know, I'm hovering around a
You're on the
area.
Lower end.
Yeah. Well, we're still above halfway, so I mean, you know.
True.
That's true.
Oh my gosh.
That's real bad.
That is very
honestly,
bad.
Honestly, Andrew, this could be one where you burn a virtue or vice. If you really want what's in here, or we can just cut to the next scene.
So I am really torn because we really need this fuel. I don't think it necessarily means we don't get the fuel, right? Or does it?
Right. You can just narrate, we find the fuel.
Okay. The reason why I'm really on the fence is because despite this being so bad, I still can't really narratively join losing the current virtue that I have. I will let loose that it's my virtue that's on top. I don't think my virtue has been burned yet, so I don't want to burn it too early. I'm going to wait.
Okay, that's wise.
Sorry, not sorry.
You guys
everybody.
Do have 8 rerolls, technically, between the 4 of you.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, then we shall darken this candle and advance to our next scene. We're down to 7 candles. Cool.
These things are true. The world is dark.
We find the fuel that we need.
Okay. All right. I'm going to throw you guys a bone. You're able to transport the fuel back to the ship. And now you need to, like, how are we thinking the fuel? These, like, fuel rods you guys got to swap out? I imagine it's not a tank of gasoline. Okay, so you take the fuel rods back to the ship, but you have to swap them out.
Can I just chime in and say one thing?
Yeah.
The fact that they're rods just immediately, like, in science fiction just makes me think of, like, something radioactive. Like, these are, like, nuclear, like, mini reactors. But maybe because we're so far in the future, the shielding on the rod is so good that, you know, it protects us from
as
any,
you put the fuel in, radiation. A couple tufts of hair fall out. Yeah, probably well, nothing to worry about.
I would think that they would make it so people could put it in. So I'm just going to say, this is sci-fi. We don't have to follow real, you know, science rules. So
yeah,
sure, these fuel rods can work even if they're totally shielded off from being able to do their job.
Okay.
We need a special tool to swap them out.
This tool that we need, we didn't know we needed until we brought them back, and not one of us has it, so we have to go back in there to get it.
As we all make our way back down the causeway towards the hub, once we get there, the lights go out another time, and we see red eyes.
All right, finishes up, Hannah.
Some screaming down the hallway attracts the monster's attention.
Okay. And we are alive. Okay. Now we are back with 7 of our 10 candles. Just for a clarification, Hannah, did the monsters go away as they heard the screaming? Did it distract them? Or did they come to you guys because of the screaming?
I think it just said attracts its attention, so I don't think it, like, left. It's just not looking directly at us.
Okay.
And the lights are currently out now, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I think Rhodey is just going to, like, hold a hand out to catch whoever's, like, near him and whisper really, really quietly, like, just so that they can hear. It's like, don't move.
I feel like it's probably Norma because she trusts him. She hasn't done a card reading for the other two yet, so they're unclear.
And he says, let it follow the screams.
Oh, okay. So then as they stand stock still, what about our two golden boys, Daniel and Dalton? What do you guys do?
Well, they know they need the tool, so he doesn't think standing around is any guarantee that this thing is going to... Do they have to... See, here's the question. Do they have to cross the same area where the monster is to get to it, or can they perhaps sneak by?
I would probably say Daniel would know what to do since this is where he works. So he would probably make that decision.
Well, we said specifically this is like a tool needed to insert the fuel rods, right?
Like some sort of futuristic socket wrench, I'm guessing.
Yeah,
yes, basically. It's basically a tool to get the fuel in there, yeah.
So I think that based on what's established, we were coming back to like the hub right on the other side of the
causeway. You know, we weren't going all throughout this base the last time. It was literally a room right off of this room. I think if it's a, you know, a futuristic socket for one of the fuel rods, I think it makes sense to be in the fuel rod room that we got them from. We just didn't pick it up on the way.
Yes.
So I would say that we probably, unfortunately, do have to sneak into the room a little bit to get to that other room.
Okay. So I think Dalton is definitely going to be, in a perfect world, he would be saving the person who just caused the distraction. But all he's thinking of now is there is a distraction. So he's going to use this distraction to start to move slowly towards the... Well, how far away is it? Is it far enough away to think we could actually move? Or is it like, wait and see what it happens?
Why don't you give me a conflict roll and then you can decide yourself?
Oh, okay.
7 dice.
And remember, it's dark.
Yes. If you want to be really hardcore, you can like shoot your gun and every time it flashes, you can move a bit.
I don't think that sounds terrifying.
Right? We'll definitely hit an arrow.
Oh, no.
Ooh.
I feel like this is probably time for a reroll if you have anything.
But it's only a 1 in 6 chance of doing any good. Like, he only has the one die to
reroll. Yeah, because you only get to reroll the ones.
I will say, though, this will be something called a dire roll, Wesley. Since you're attempting something very dangerous, it's not going to kill your character. You guys cannot die until the final scene unless you choose to sacrifice yourselves, but I will cause something bad to happen to your character if you fail.
Okay.
So it's up to you. Like Andrew said, there's not a high chance, but there is a chance.
I will keep it.
You will keep it. Okay.
And another candle goes out.
Another candle goes out. We're just speeding through now.
Yeah.
So you attempt to sneak past this monster and... You know, you tried, but it's pitch dark, and this is an engineering room, so Dalton can probably say, you know, or Daniel can probably say, they probably left a bunch of tools lying around while they're working, and while everyone was running for their lives, it's probably a cacophony of mess in here. So you're just sneaking, you fall on something, you probably hear a bunch of swearing as you, like, blah, 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 fall everywhere. It'd be very comedic if it wasn't so terrifying.
Yeah.
And... As, what is it, Rhodey and Norma are staying stock still, and probably Daniel at this point. I imagine you're standing still,
yeah,
too.
I don't think I would have been moving at all, yeah.
You see these red eyes slowly approach you almost curiously. They seem to hover several feet above your body, and then you feel something icy begin to rake itself across your arm. And you open your mouth to scream. It's like a silent, like, ah! And you can feel something happening to your arm, almost like someone put a straw inside your arm and is sucking everything out. That's how it feels in the darkness. And then you hear that scream again, even higher, even more shrill, and you see the eyes turn, and then they go to follow that noise. And then that's where the candle will darken, and we can establish our next truths.
Oh.
So was that a specific person that felt that, or was that all four of us?
That was, that's a good question. What do you guys want?
I think it would just be him.
Okay. Just you. Now, you guys could still hear the buzzing and screaming in your heads.
Wait, which him was it?
Wesley?
Yeah, it wasn't.
Okay. That's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure.
It would have been me.
When it happened, too.
Yeah, that's what I assumed.
Me.
Yeah, that's what I assumed. We didn't say it exactly that way, so I wanted to be sure.
Right. Thank you. Yeah, that's good to clarify. So now we are going to establish our truths. These things are true. The world is dark. Now we have 5 more.
5 more. Oh, boy.
Basically, all of us get one truth.
The lights come back on as the creature leaves, and we can see... And we see Dalton looking a bit paler than he did before.
I think not only do they see me looking paler, that arm that was attacked, I think the...
Is gone.
The musculature, the definition of the arm... is not as pronounced anymore. It's as if the vitality has been removed somewhat.
So it's kind of shriveled is what you're saying?
Yes, it's not like zombie levels, but it's not quite as buff as it used to be.
There goes your baseball career.
Yeah.
That was your pitching hand.
Darn it.
Say goodbye to that scholarship.
Aren't you like 50?
He's 50. He's 50.
Yeah. Yes, I'm over 50 man. Years old.
Well, I no, always... it's his like base, you know, baseball team, you know, his command, his officer, his officers, you know, team that they were going against the army in, you know, like
I was the first seed pick.
They were going to have the big game, the big like cross branch show off next month or something. And now, obviously, those hopes are dashed.
I mean, that might be too similar to what Susanna said. I could say something different if that's too close.
Oh, but... it doesn't matter. Whatever you want.
Okay. All right.
All right. Andrew, hit us with some truth bombs.
Okay. Daniel notices that, as you said earlier, a lot of the engineers in like the scuffle here dropped things all over the place. And it turns out that in the darkness, we didn't see it earlier, and neither did we this time. Dalton actually tripped over one of those sockets we need, and Daniel picks it up. And we start making our way towards the ship.
Okay. Do you guys enter Earth's atmosphere? Are you guys able to leave the station? Do you get a cool new tarot card about someone else?
He could pull one for Dalton. Dalton's just been injured.
The Hanged Man. That would be... I only know my tarot cards from the Persona games.
Yeah, Norma pulls a card for Dalton, and she pulls... I swear I'm doing this. It's a random generator, I swear.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
She pulls the tower. It says, "The tower warns you that part of your life is in dire need of restructuring and may soon crumble. But with some planning, you can build something much stronger in its place."
A robo-arm. I get a robo-arm.
Yeah, you find a you go back, get a dumbbell, and start working out.
Essentially, okay. It's saying things are going wrong and they need to change.
Really?
So is the tarot card the truth? Like, is the truth like I pull a tarot card and it says this?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Okay. Right.
And you guys are able to replace the fuel and you are now on your way to Earth. We can, what do you think? We should probably go ahead and say it usually takes 3 days to travel to the moon. Let's say we're faster now. It probably takes maybe 24 hours to get to Earth.
Mm.
And how about we say, yeah?
I have a question.
Yeah?
So the Earth isn't, like, it's completely shrouded in darkness, right?
Yes. It's like some sort of cloud or drape. You're not exactly sure.
Yeah. I mean, we can just jump to being on Earth, but I actually think I have an idea for something I would want to say as, like, a scene as we're approaching.
Yeah, I was wanting us to make it a moment, too. So how about we say you guys spend the next day and a half in just very uncomfortable silence. There's probably some food on the ship, but the rations are getting a little thin at this point. And you are now, let's say, like, 15 minutes from entering the Earth's atmosphere. So now we're getting into the final preparations. And then Susanna, would you like to close us out?
And we are alive.
That wasn't very...
And we are alive, whatever. Your character's like, not for much longer. Spoilers? Foreshadowing?
Who knows?
Okay. So, I pretty much just accidentally narrated everything in my truth. You guys are about 15 minutes from the Earth. It's kind of like a scene out of 2001 A Space Odyssey, where your tiny ship is approaching this giant black ball. And you see what look like black clouds just swirling across the surface. They are, as far as you can tell, visually impenetrable. You have no idea what's down there. But occasionally, you think you see flashes of light. Maybe it's lightning, maybe an explosion. You're not really sure.
That's what Earth looks like?
Didn't you
see? Now it does.
You've never seen Earth out of, like, a porthole or anything before?
Well, I mean, I thought I did, but it didn't look like that.
Well, that's because this isn't normal.
Whatever that is, it's not Earth anymore.
And I'd like to think that, like, Daniel's been, like, kind of, like, at the kind of the navigation kind of terminal in the cockpit, you know, and he's like probably trying to help chart a course, because we have no comms, we have no, you know, telemetry, we have no, you know, base station like helping like plot our course as we try and get to wherever our point is on the Earth we're trying to get to, you know, if this is like a normal landing. So he's been like trying to do his best to like chart some kind of course. And as we're like close now, he just says, and maybe like we've had a conversation in the past day or something. He just says, we all still agreed that we just need to go through and hope it works.
I don't see as we can do anything else.
I don't think so either.
Norma shuffles her cards and pulls a card.
For anybody or just in general?
It's for the situation.
Okay, for situation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hannah, here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to want you to roll a conflict roll, but this will have two purposes. It will get your card, and also we'll see if you can live your moment, because as long as you guys don't crash and burn, you have successfully stowed away on this ship.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, okay.
Maybe not as sneakily as you would have liked, but...
Alright, how many dice do we have?
You have 6.
Oh.
Still more than half. I think it's cool how this game, like, it just gets faster and faster and faster.
As time goes on, yeah.
Alright, good luck. Oh, utter failure.
Oh, no!
Not even any ones to re-roll, yeah.
Can't even... Okay, so I might have screwed myself over right there, because if you succeeded in your hope, you would have stowed away. But now you haven't successfully stowed away. So that leaves us in a very weird situation.
I mean, I might have a way for you to explain that. Didn't she technically already stow away when she got from the moon base to the shipyard? Or does that not count because we weren't doing
the
whole...
I guess that depends on Hannah's interpretation. That's a good point.
She did stow away on the ship. She didn't technically, like, part of stowing away didn't say she had to make it there.
That's true.
I kind of thought I completed that by staying hidden at least for a little bit.
Okay. Then,
I did refer to her as a stowaway, so...
But, that saves my bacon a little bit. Cool. So then, Hannah, here's what we'll do.
Apparently we run into some trouble, though.
Apparently. So, Hannah, since you have successfully lived your moment, maybe not in the way we intended, you get something called a hope die, because you have achieved what you wanted before you die.
Oh.
So from now on, whenever you roll, you get one extra die. And that die will succeed on a 5 or a 6.
Oh,
just that one die, though. So basically,
so
if you get at least 1 5, yeah, just add it to your die pool, and if you get a 5, you also succeed. That makes sense.
Do you want me to reroll?
Is it just
the
hope die that can be a 5 or a 6, or does it do that?
Correct.
To your whole pool?
But okay. Since we can't really keep track of all those, it's, you know,
well, assuming she rolled it earlier, then this counts. This would count. So
well, like she rolled, like she has to roll 7, so she can roll an extra d6 now, and yeah, it's a 4. So
it was a 4.
Mm-hmm.
I think we always have to roll the hope die separately, I think.
Still got 2 5s, right?
But it's only for the hope die that...
Oh, it's only for the hope die.
Yeah. Only for the hope die. Normally in person, I would just give you like an extra red die instead of like the regular black and white one. But yeah. So that was the fastest scene we've had yet.
Can I tell you what my card is that I pulled?
Yeah,
actually, let me roll because then I get to decide.
Oh my.
I haven't been rolling enough. It's a 4d6. Okay.
Oh no.
Neither of us succeed. So, yeah, go ahead and tell your hope card since I utterly failed. Or your tarot card.
So, I was pulling a card to see, like, because we were talking about, like, if we were sure this is, like, what we needed to do, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And the card I pulled is the Fool. And. The Fool encourages you to try something adventurous and new. Unfamiliarity can be invigorating, but take care not to put yourself in needless danger.
That sounds like every single one of your characters.
Yes.
How are these always applicable? Is it just the way they're written and like we're like making them apply every time, or are they actually just that good?
I don't know.
Is this the secret of tarot? Is that it always applies?
I don't know. I don't know anything about tarot. I'm just using a random generator that gives me explanations.
Okay. Yeah.
So, Wesley, you're going to... we'll have you start. You'll say, these things are true, the world is dark. And then... Actually, Wesley, you won't get a truth this time because we're only down to 5 candles.
So we only get 4?
Yeah.
All right. These things are true. The world is dark.
But maybe not as much as we feared. We break through the roiling black clouds to see a world in peril, but with light. Artificial light.
Oh.
All right, Hannah, that's a tough one to follow up.
After coming through the clouds, we soon realize one of the creatures has attached itself to our ship.
Mm. Okay. No. You realize this because all of a sudden one of the engines goes out and you begin teetering out of control.
Oh, I'm gonna crash.
The creature is thrown off as we spiral wildly. We launch a parachute and then crash into the ocean.
And we are alive.
Okay. So you guys have crash landed into the ocean. Your hull appears to be waterproof for now, but you are all very shaken by that very close altercation with whatever that thing was. You see, maybe a mile or two away, the mainland. It's dark, but there are patches of light on the coast. Mm. Do you guys want to say where you are specifically? What coastline?
This is a coast. I would like to think that Dalton may have been aiming for possibly Cape Canaveral, because that's where everything space-related is situated.
Not everything. Everything
American.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think we're presuming that we're Americans. Okay.
I think we're Americans.
Yeah.
Yeehaw.
So yeah, I'd like to think that coastline might be Florida.
I have a question for the group.
Yeah.
Do you think there would be pools on the moon colony? AKA, do you think I know how to swim?
I was actually going to mention, you're probably going to be suffering from the low gravity
higher gravity here.
Yeah.
You're probably not used to that.
Even with artificial, we have artificial gravity, but still, it's probably not perfect.
It's not the same, yeah.
It's probably not
as strong. It feels heavy here.
If
it's like artificial gravity, there's probably not like enough of it for a pool.
Then I don't know how to swim.
I'm sure there's a life raft somewhere in the ship.
Yeah, I think after they've collected themselves from crashing, you know, he realizes, you know, there's enough light at least to tell, like, oh, we're in the ocean. He unstraps and he sees the distant lights. He says, "All right, there should be a life raft here." Yes, and he reaches down to like a hatch in the floor, lifts it, and there it's one of those like big yellow emergency blow up life rafts. And he just starts to.
Can I pause you right there? Can I get you to do a conflict roll and we can see the state of the raft?
Okay.
Yeah. Because I've got a lot of die. I am just burning to use.
Of course, it requires us to roll any sixes, so...
It's 5-5 right now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we are even Stevens.
That's
one six for Jonathan, so we have to get 2 sixes to beat him.
Well, if anyone can do it,
come on, Wesley.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Oh!
No!
Nuts! Oh!
We haven't rolled a six in a while, guys.
Nope.
No.
Wesley, you might just want to burn one of your things, because otherwise we're going to have to kick this scene to the curb, too.
But it wouldn't matter, right? Couldn't he not beat you? Or a success
right,
is still
but
a success.
He technically initiated
right.
this role.
Yeah.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah. I think, although I'm not sure how to tie it to it, though. Hmm.
Well, maybe for example, I know this one's busted. I'll use my, I guess, what's your virtue?
My virtue is strong, so.
Okay. Maybe it's just hard to open. Like, come on.
Maybe it
come
needs
on
to be
my
pumped
one
up.
Good arm.
I mean, like, I think strong in this case is like, I was thinking of it in muscle when I wrote it, but I think in this case it's just like extreme lung capacity, right? He's pumping this thing super fast, and
okay,
you don't pump those things with your mouth.
I was gonna say you would have like a pump.
Okay, fine. Either way,
Maybe it's strength of character. It's,
yeah,
yeah.
Okay,
I think it needs strong.
Okay, yeah.
Strong.
It's I mean, it means arm. Okay. I can't use that then. So he just...
I mean, it's your interpretation.
No, you can't
okay,
use
fine.
That.
Strong in case of, like, strength of, like, yes, we're in this weird situation, but he's trying his best to take command yet again. And I think it's coming across as a very, you know, even Mr. Criminal Inmate decides, oh, yeah, for once, maybe, this guy knows what he's doing. And so he's directing everybody to be like... Okay.
I don't think you can speak for Susanna's character.
I don't know. I could be wrong. I don't know. I'm just being narrative here. But he starts to, he gets the apparatus out. He starts to pump it full of air because he knows that they're not going to last here very long because eventually they will sink. And he's directing Daniel to to, like, gather up any...
Let's just go ahead and roll first and then see how that goes.
Nope.
It's another one.
So that virtue is gone forever, unfortunately. Okay. Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's good to be strong, but sometimes you're just not strong enough, and maybe that's the lesson you take with you from this.
Okay.
So we will darken our sixth candle.
Oh, man.
We were really rolling through him.
Hey, that goes back to the tower card where I said he was falling apart.
Clearly.
Yeah. You just give him the
card. So he's at the falling apart.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's creepy how accurate those are, Hannah.
I know.
Okay, so we are going to establish truths now. We got four. Technically, three, because one of them has to be these things are true, the world is dark.
These things are true, the world is dark.
We spot a barge drifting towards us.
Ooh, okay. It ends up maybe, the way it's being timed, it's going to be maybe 200 feet from your ship when it passes you. But it looks very derelict. You can even see from here, it is very worn down, rusty, decrepit.
I make a makeshift paddle so that we can get to the barge.
And we are alive.
Okay.
For now.
So Rhodey has made a makeshift paddle, and you're just trying to paddle the boat over to the barge?
Yeah, I mean, basically, I mean... I don't want to swim. I don't know if it's warm in the water. I mean, we're off the coast of Florida, but who knows what not having the sun makes a difference in the water.
That's a good point. I'm not going to make you roll for this because it's been kind of rough on you guys recently. So we'll just say you're able to kind of paddle your way over. Maybe everyone else helps you. I'm not sure. But you guys are able to reach the barge.
Is there any sign that anyone...
Why is Earth so heavy?
You, like, check yourself, like, did I gain weight on the way down? Yeah. Like, what?
She's just, like, breathing hard, like,
That would suck, my
anything.
Goodness.
I think even Dalton's breathing a little harder, but he has enough air, he turns to... This is what real gravity feels like, girl.
I don't like it.
I wonder if this thing has an engine.
It better, we have to get to shore. And Daniel is starting to actually look kind of, like, actually frantic. Like, he's been kind of like timid before, but he's looking kind of frantic now that we're actually on Earth.
Dalton is searching very carefully throughout the ship to see if there's any sign of human habitation, not expecting to find anyone.
Norma's gonna follow Daniel and see if she can help him at all and just follow.
Yeah, Daniel is definitely, like, trying to go see if he can look at the engine, because he's like, you know, it's got to have one, and I think he's going to try and attempt to use his engineering know-how, his kind of knowledge of mechanics to...
Yes. You know. Okay. Absolutely. Okay, what about Rhodey? What are you doing?
Yeah, I think Rhodey is probably doing the same, just looking for an engine, and he'll call over Daniel, because he'll know how to fix it, hopefully. I don't know if barges usually have engines, but, I mean, who knows, maybe...
In make-believe world, they do. Okay, so I'm really... We need someone new to roll the die for this conflict.
I haven't rolled in a while, I don't think, have I?
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, whoever wants to roll, you can take narrative charge at this moment.
I think Daniel does make the best sense.
Yeah, I am the one who's trying to... Yeah. So we have, what, four candles?
Four candles, yes. And
so this is my lowest roll to date.
Yes.
We should probably cheat a little bit, so if you guys want to move your moments up to the top, I won't tell if you want, so that way you guys have time to try it.
Okay.
Because we burned through candles a little bit faster than I was expecting.
Oh, are you not able to try for your moment unless it's the card that's on top?
Correct.
Oh,
okay.
But yeah, if you don't tell anyone, I won't tell anyone, okay?
Okay.
Hey,
okay,
Daniel, would you like to hear some advice from the cards on what you should do?
I don't know if that's really going to help, but sure.
So she pulls the levers.
That engine's looking real hot.
That actually might be good
Daniel.
For me.
The levers call on you to explore a neglected or overlooked passion, but do not let momentary flames of caprice and enthusiasm destroy your long-standing commitments.
That doesn't really apply to Daniel.
But the levers does.
So the lovers applies to Daniel, but not in that way. In like the opposite way. He has
not
a long standing commitment that he is hungering for right now.
Okay, okay.
Not in that way.
It is a family show, Andrew. Okay, go ahead and roll your die, and I'll roll mine. All right,
here we go. Oh, that's 2 sixes, a 4, and a 5.
Yes!
Yes!
And I got nothing.
No sixes.
And we didn't lose anything.
Okay. Yeah, that was really good.
Okay. What happens? I know what's going to happen. Okay.
I gave you a nice Daniel, pep talk.
Daniel goes in to look at the engine. I'm going to kind of like weave in like my vices and stuff a little bit too here, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel's like looking at the engine, and it actually is running. Like, the ship is derelict, but I think it's not inoperable. I think what happened was whoever was operating it might have gotten monstered away, so to speak. So like, it attacked the ship, and it is not in good shape, but it still runs. So he notices this, and he's, you know, just making sure that the engine doesn't have any damage itself. It doesn't. So he goes and checks all the circuits and everything, and as he's going, he sees that the kind of the GPS is still, strangely enough, operating. Maybe not GPS. Maybe that's wrong. Maybe it's got just like a local map that it was just kind of operating off of that's still up. And he sees that we are indeed near Cape Canaveral, and his family is staying in a hotel on shore nearby. And he can see kind of the route he needs to take to get there. So he memorizes the heading and then turns off the map, so that the kind of the locally stored data is gone.
Ooh, okay, cool.
And he does this when nobody else is around, because he wants to take the ship where he wants to take it. So he comes up from the engine room, and he's kind of in like the place we're going to pilot this boat, and he just says, the engine looks like it's good. I think I know our heading to get to shore, if you all don't mind.
Yeah, where are we?
We're in Florida. Well, close to Florida.
Yes! Oh. Still got it.
Nice. That's kind of where I wanted to be.
He wasn't there, obviously. He's looking for the ship, but I think just offhand, he's like, he sneezes. I was right. Yes!
Where's Florida?
Oh, right, you wouldn't know. It's like the
shoe
thing.
She wouldn't have been taught. She's 16 years old. She has history classes, right?
That's true.
That's
although
assuming
someone
I
told
paid
me to
attention.
Point out Yemen, I probably couldn't.
It's true.
That's assuming what, Hannah?
That assuming that I paid attention. Also, that's probably one of those pieces of information where she's like, "I'm never gonna need that," and just learned it for a test and then forgot it.
That's fair.
Just like A squared, B squared, C squared.
I think Rhodey looks down and says, it's where all the space stuff comes from.
Oh.
So you guys start heading to shore. I imagine it's not going to take too long to get there. Do you guys do anything while you are preparing? Or do any of you want to describe what the shoreline looks like as you get closer?
I'll do the shoreline, if that'll work.
Okay. And you guys can all add in stuff if you want to.
Yeah, I think they're coming into this and... And it's the feeling you get is very much like a ghost town, where it looks like maybe some kind of storm has gone through, and the, you know, he glances up at the clouds and he's thinking, well, maybe that was when this whole thing came through. But for the most part, you know, the buildings are still standing, you know, all the windows are blown out, but they're still standing up. But it's like, it's nearly silent. There's no sound. There's no none of the normal sounds you would hear, especially if we're coming up on like a coastal road or a coastal town. There's nothing here, but there is, like you said, we can pick out the lights because they are showing very brightly in the middle of all this. Like, it's like a perpetual dusk kind of thing, but it's a whole lot darker than that. It's not completely black because the lights are there, but it's pretty darn dark.
Okay, cool. Anyone else want to add anything, or do you just want to make it to shore?
Can I say something as we get to the shore?
Absolutely.
So I think the thing that is like the freakiest out of everything is how the plants look, because nothing has received sunlight for a while. So every single plant would be bent over and drooping and lost all of its leaves because there's no chlorophyll that's being photosynthesized. So every plant,
like the bee movie,
as we arrive there, is just
Wilty
yeah. and dying. Mm. And it probably okay. smells bad.
Like rot.
Probably.
Yeah, like rot. And like there's a scent of like right. vegetal rot in the air.
And then also plankton needs sunlight as well, so there's probably a lot of dead fish in the oh, water yeah. since that yeah. whole food chain has been disrupted.
Yeah. It would be smelling like
I think cool. it's very obvious as we like kind of step off, like whether we made it here or not, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just hitting everybody that like, oh, we thought we'd get here and have some kind of, you know, someone somewhere would have some information, and then we get here and there is no one.